Okay, good morning, everybody. Today's daf is Nedarim daf Mem Aleph. So Moreno left off on the top of Mem Aleph Hamad Aleph. We're going to back up to Mem Hamad Beis, two dots midway down that super long Amud. So we're just going to read the last 2.5 lines of Mem Hamad Beis just to get back into the flow of what today's Gemara is going to be talking about. Today's shiur is sponsored by Dr. David Lander in honor of his wife and children, and Lili Nishmas, his mother, Golda Basimcha Le'al Shalom. It's also sponsored by Steve Moretzky in memory of his mother, Zita Moretzky, Sarah Basvi Hirsch, on her 6th yard site. And it's also sponsored by Ken and Marcy Capel in memory of Ken's sister, Nettie Gross Horowitz, whose 1st yard site is today. Nettie was a noted Israeli journalist who gave voice to those who otherwise wouldn't be heard. Necha Dabra Bas Yisrael and Hashemah Shereven Aliyah. And we thank all of the sponsors very, very much for the sponsorship. So today we are going to cover primarily two sugyas. First, we're going to continue the discussion about Bikur Cholim on Mem Aleph Amud Aleph, but in the process of getting there, we're going to cover a little bit more Agadata in terms of life's necessities and the importance of Deya, the importance of Das, of understanding, and of being in one's right mind is to one's general health. And then we're going to continue with the discussion of Bikur Cholim, certain types of Cholim who the Gemara says maybe you shouldn't visit, and then the potential benefit of having certain Choli every so often. And then as we get to Mem Aleph Amud Beis, we're going to get to the Mishnah, and the Mishnah is going to continue with our regularly scheduled programming, and that's all about the different types of activities that a person is or maybe is not allowed to engage in with somebody who is usher to get hana'ah from him, or with somebody from whom he is usher to get hana'ah from. Whether he's allowed to, for example, go in the same bath or swimming pool as somebody else, if they're allowed to sleep in the same bed, if they're allowed to eat from the same table. So we're going to talk about all of those topics. So again, we'll pick up Mem Amud Beis at the two dots midway down the Amud as follows. So Amar Rav Ami. Amar Rav. So it says Rav Ami, in the name of Rav, Maidichsev Yata ben Adam, Aselecha Kli Gola. What does it say when it says in the Navi, Aselecha Kli Gola? What are these Kli Gola that are required? So says the Gemara, Zu Ner V'Ka'ara. This is a Ner V'Ka'ara, Vishatiach, and also a mat. So in other words, these are all Tzorchei Suda. The Ner, you need to see what you're eating. The Ka'ara, the plate, obviously you need for your food. Shatiach, if you look over here, Tosfah says that it's some type of tanned hide that they would eat on and they would carry it with them. So if you can envision like a sort of yoga mat that was like a transportable table, instead of schlepping a table with you, they would schlep some sort of like placemat, foldable placemat that they would be able to eat on. And the Mefarish has the same explanation. Over here that it's a mat on which a person would eat. So says the Gemara, Bechoser Kol. Now that we're talking about the necessities of the clay gola, the necessities that one needs in order to go out to Golas. So it says Bechoser Kol, that he's lacking everything. So either this is also either the reason that this is brought down is also because it was a maimer of Rav Ami Amar Rav, just like the last one, or as I mentioned, because the last maimer was talking about the clay gola, the kalim, the vessels that are required to go to Golas. This Gemara is talking about general life necessities. So what does it mean, b'choser kol, that a person is lacking everything? What's kol? So Amar Rav Ami, Amar Rav, below ner, below shulchan. So similarly, below ner, below shulchan. That it means that a person doesn't have the required implements to eat. What does it mean, below ner, below shulchan? We just said that one of the requirements to eat is ner, ka'ara, and shatiach. It's a mat, not a shulchan. So the Mefarshim explained that the obvious difference is that when you're traveling and you're not going to be able to carry a table with you, then the only way you can eat like a mensch is if you're carrying a foldable placemat. So you could unroll the placemat, or you can unroll the little cushion. You could sit on the cushion. You could have your meal. When you are sitting in your house, it's obviously bakovedik to eat not on the floor, sitting on a mat, but rather at a table. And the Mefarshim say that's why Dafka on Pesach, that lo yochal ani ad sheyesev keneged ha-shulchan, that an ani is not allowed to eat until he's being mesev, until he's leaning by a shulchan. Why? Because to eat by a shulchan is derech kavod. By the Seder night on Pesach, we are all b'nei chorin. We're all experiencing a cheres, and therefore, when we're eating on the Seder night, it's not enough that we have to sit down to the big meal. We have to sit down to the big meal b'derech kavod, and that's why dafka by the Seder, the shulchan has a very prominent position. But when it says b'choser kol, life's necessities means basic sustenance, means you have to be able to feed yourself, and that includes a shulchan, says the Gemara. Rav Chista amar below isha, the Rav Chista says, no, it doesn't mean without a shulchan, it means below isha, means that a person doesn't have a wife. Why? Because a person's wife is an ezer kenegdo, and if you don't have your ezer kenegdo, if you don't have your other half, in many cases, in most cases, your better half, then you're considered to be without nothing. So, without anything, rather, you're considered to be with nothing. So, Rav Shesha Samar below Shamash. Rav Shesha says it's without a Shamash. Why? Because the Shamash says the Eitz Yosef is somebody who could always procure necessities for you, and that's especially important in a time of hunger. It's always good to have an agent who's going to be able to go scour the market and bring you whatever you need. Rav Nachman Amar below Deya. Rav Nachman says that it's somebody who doesn't have Das. Why does Das fit into food? And we've been talking about Tzorchei Suda, because obviously if a person goes hungry, ultimately he's going to go out of his mind. And therefore, that shows the importance of food in preserving one Das. And now the Gemara provides a musical interlude with a song that was very popular. Oh, no, actually in another couple of lines. I'm sorry. So, Satana below Melach, below Ravav. And similarly, Tzorchei Suda, somebody doesn't have Melach, somebody doesn't have salt, somebody doesn't have Ravav. What's Ravav? It's grease, like cooking oil to cook with, Shemen. Amar Abaye, Naktinan, Ein Ani Ela Bedeya. That in Ani, who's considered to be an ani? Somebody who doesn't have deya. Now, b'marava amri, here we go. In marava, they used to say, in Eretz Yisrael, they used to say, d'dabe kulabe, d'lo dabe mabe, d'kani machaser, d'lo kani makani. So this is all talking about das. D'dabe, if a person has das, kulabe, then he has everything. D'lo dabe, if a person doesn't have his right mind, if a person doesn't have seichel, then mabe, then a person could have everything in the world, but if he doesn't have his right mind, if he's not mentally healthy, then what good is it? So, dakani machaser, if a person could be kone das, if a person can acquire das, he's lacking nothing. But dalokani makani, however, if he hasn't acquired das, then what good is everything that he has already acquired? Because if a person lacks das, says the Ran, then everything that he has, any material possession that he has, is totally worthless. Says the Gemara in Avaita, Amar Rav Alexandri, Amar Rav Chia Bar Abba, Eina Chole Omeid Micholya, now back to Bikur Cholim, that a person is not healed from any machla that he has, from any choli that he has, Ad Shemochlin Lo Al Kol Avanosav, until HaKadosh Baruch Hu decrees that he's going to be forgiven for all of his sins. How do we know? So the Gemara cites a pasuk where we juxtapose refua to slicha. Shenemar, because it says in pasuk, HaSoleach L'chol Avonaichi, HaSoleach, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu gives forgiveness for all of one's sins, HaRofe L'chol Tachluaichi, who rather heals somebody from all of his ailments. Rav Amnuna says not only is he granted forgiveness for all of his sins, not only does he get a total slicha mechila, but he also finds the wellspring of youth. So Rav Amnuna Amar Chozer Lemei Alumav. He also goes back to the days. He also goes back to the days of his. He also goes back to the days of his youth. So what does it mean? He goes back to the days of his youth. So the Ran explains that oftentimes we see that after a person falls ill and then is healed from his illness, he bounces back with a greater vigor and with a greater health and in a more robust way than even before he was sick. The Mefarish says that this is not referring to a physical state. It's not referring to physically that when a person is ill and then recovers, he recovers and becomes even stronger than before he got sick. But this is rather referring to a spiritual state of mind. And the Mefarish's view makes sense because we had previously just juxtaposed being healed from an illness to being forgiven for all of your sins. So if it's true that when you are healed from your illness, it's as if you're forgiven from all of your sins, then when a person is ill and a person gets better, then spiritually, not physically, but spiritually, he's in a better state than he was before he got sick. Because before he got sick, Mistama, he had some avonos, he was going to get punished for his avonos. He got sick, then all of his sins are forgiven, so he has a clean slate, just like we do the day after Yom Kippur. So from a spiritual perspective, he's even better than before he got sick. Shenemar, as it says in the Pasuk, Rotfash Pesaro Minoar, that his skin is fresh from youth, Yashuv Limei Alumov. Kol Mishkavo Afachta Becholyo. That in other words, it reverts to his youth all of the, that's another pasuk. So Yashuv Limein Alumov, that he goes back to his youth. Says the Gemara, quoting another pasuk, Kol Mishkavo Afachta Becholyov, that his entire bed was all messed up from his illness. So Amar Rav Yosef Lomar Demishakeach Limudo, that he forgets his limud when he's sick. And therefore, when he is healed from his sickness, it's as if his bed is put back in order. And you see, if somebody is sick and they're spending a lot of time in bed, their bed looks like a wreck because they're always moving around. They're rolling around. They're sleeping very fitfully. But when a person is not sick, he's resting in his bed peacefully. And the Mefarish explains that, metaphor for the neat bed is a person's das. That when you envision a bed with neatly arranged pillows and blankets, that's when a person's das is neatly arranged and all of the information is neatly laid out in a person's head. So it's a metaphor for the Torah knowledge that exists in his head. Now the Gemara quotes a very, very famous maase as to how we know that illness prevents somebody from keeping all of his limudim in order and that it actually mixes him up in a very, very bad way. So says the Gemara, Rav Yosef Chalash, so Rav Yosef once got sick, Yakar kol limudei. He forgot all of his limudim. Ahadre Abaya, and Abaya was his devoted Talmud, who sat and reviewed all of Rav Yosef's limudim kamei in front of him. Hainu de b'chol duchten, says the Gemara, that's why throughout Shas, Amrinan, we see that Rav Yosef says, Am Rav Yosef, lo shmia li adosh maita. So the Amaram could be dealing with a conversation, with a halacha conversation, and Rav Yosef will say, oh, you're quoting a brisa, I never heard this. And Amr le Abaya, atam risa ne'la mehamas nisa amrita ne'la. And Abaya will always be there by his side saying, no, you did hear it. You taught us this mimer. And also the mimer was based on a Mishnah. So we see that Abaya took the pain to restore all of Rav Yosef's limudim to him. Kiavigamir Rebbe Tlas Esrei Ape Hilchasa, that when Rebbe learned 13 versions of the Mishnayis, Agamir le Rav Chia Shiva Minhon, he taught Rav Chia 7 of those versions. So there were 6 that he didn't transmit to Rav Chia. Lesov Cholash Rebbe, then Rebbe got sick, and we saw what happens when a person gets sick. He forgets his limudim. So Rebbe got sick and forgot the 13 Sidrei Mishnayis that he had taught, or he had forgot the 13 Sidrei Mishnayis that he had learned, 7 of which he had taught to Rav Chia. So Hadu Rav Chia Kamei Hanu Shiva Ape de Agmarei. The Rav Chia was able to reteach to Rebbe the 7 versions of the Mishnah that Rebbe had taught him. But Shita Azdu. However, 6 of the Siddurim, which Rebbe never taught to Rav Chia, slipped away. So says the Gemara, Hava Hu Katsra, there was a laundryman, Hava Shamiale Le Rebbe Kidahavi Garis Lehu, who was eavesdropping when Rebbe was learning the other 6 versions of the Mishnah. Now, how did they used to learn Torah Shabbal Peh? They used to learn it Baal Peh, but they used to speak it out because that was the way that they would remember it. So Rebbe used to speak out all of these 13 Sidrei Mishnayis, and the laundryman was there. He was eavesdropping, so he heard Rebbe as Rebbe would work through the Mishnah. So Azur Rav Chia, so Rav Chia went to this laundryman, V'gamar Yason Kamei Katsura, and he asked the laundryman to repeat these other Sidrei Mishnayis to him, and he learned it. V'asa v'ader yason kamei Rebbe. And then he taught those to Rebbe. So it turns out that Rebbe got back not only the 7 that he had taught Rav Chia, because that Rav Chia was able to teach him directly, but also the other 6 that Rav Chia had never learned because Rav Chia went to the laundryman who was eavesdropping when Rebbe was practicing Baal Peh, those other 6 Siddurim of Mishnayis. So says the Gemara. So akad avichazi le Rebbe lahu katsra. So once Rebbe bumped into that laundry man, and amar le Rebbe atos iso si veschia. You made me and chia. So what does it mean? You made me and what does it mean? You made me and chia. Because whoever teaches somebody Torah, it's as if they made him. So ikadamri achi kamarle atos isas chia v'chia so si. Others say that you made chia because you taught him this Torah, and chia then made me because he was able to restore the Torah to me. The Gemara refers to somebody who teaches somebody else Torah as if he made him, as the pasuk says legabe Avram Avinu v'sa nefesh asher asu b'charan. He didn't make the people of Avraham Avinu. He was makariv them to Yiddishkeit. But if a person is makariv somebody to Yiddishkeit and teaches them Torah, then it's considered v'sa nefesh asher asu b'charan. It's considered that they made the people entirely. Says the Gemara Viter. So we're now three lines down, at the end of the third line down, in the wide lines. V'yamar Rav Alexandri, Amar Rav Chia Bar Abba, Godol Nation Asa L'chola, Yosar Min HaNation Asa L'chanani Mishol V'Azarya. That a nace that occurs to a chola who is healed from his chola, from his illness, is bigger than the nace that occurred to Chanani, Mishael, Vazaria when they were saved from the Kivshana Eish. Why? Because Shalchanani, Mishael, Vazaria, Eish Shal Hedyot. That the Chanani, Mishael, Vazaria, yeah, they were thrown into a fiery furnace, but the fiery furnace was made by somebody who is by Basar Adam, who was made by a person. V'akol Yichol and Lekvosa, and anybody could put it out. It's scary, obviously, to be thrown into a fiery furnace, but it's a fire that's man-made, so anybody could extinguish the fire. V'zu shel chola, but this person who's sick, shel shamayim yumi yachol lekvosa, that it's an eish shel shamayim. If a person is burning up with a fever, then it's an eish from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Who could extinguish the eish from HaKadosh Baruch Hu? Nobody other than HaKadosh Baruch Hu himself. That the Yin Yaakov explains that Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah were obviously tzaddikim, and therefore they may have merited to be saved from the Kifshana Eish through a neis. However, people who fall ill are not always tzaddikim. They're ordinary people who fall ill. They generally have some sort of sin. Yet HaKadosh Baruch Hu acts in spite of the person's averos to save the person from illness, and this requires mechilas avonos. Mechilas avonos is obviously something that's very, very lofty, that's out of our control, and therefore, when a person is saved from an illness, in a certain sense, it's even a bigger nes than Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah being saved from the Kivshan Ha'esh. Says the Gemara Vayter, V'yamar Rav Alexandri, Yamar Rav Chia Bar Abba, V'amri Lo Amar Rav Yeshua Ben Levi, Kivan She'egia Kiso Shel Adam. When it comes time for a person to go, when it's the person's allotted time, Hakol Moshlimbo, everything will rule over him. What does that mean? Shenemar, as it says in the Pasuk, in Sefer Bereshit, V'yakol Motzi Yargeni. Anybody who finds me will kill me. In other words, when it's your time to go, anything can cause you to meet your demise. And the Gemara is going to illustrate this right now. So Rav Amar Min Adinkra. Rav says that it's from the following pasuk, which the Gemara then is going to darshan. L'mishpatecha amdu ayom, to judgment they stood today, ki akol avadecha. That everything is the Eved of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. The Mefarish explains that when a person is judged in the Yeshiva Shalmaila, and it's judged that his time is up, he is going to be punished by any of HaKadosh Baruch Hu's Avadim, meaning everybody becomes an agent of HaKadosh Baruch Hu in order to mete out the punishment that the person deserves. The Gemara now is going to illustrate that with a couple of stories. So Rabba Bar Shila Amrule Shachiv Gavra Gavoa, that they told Rabba Bar Shila that a very tall person died. So if you can imagine this, Havi Rachiv Girduna Zutra Mata Titura Asitua, that Mata Titura, that there was a very tall man riding a very, very short donkey. So it's like if an adult sits on a kid's riding toy, that he's not high up, he's literally on the ground. So the very tall guy was riding the very, very short donkey on a bridge. So the donkey went mad. Shadya threw the man off of it, v'koshachiv, and he died. And the Gemara is saying this to illustrate, because if you were to take a snapshot and look what was going on a minute before the donkey went mad, you would see a very tall guy who's riding on a donkey. It doesn't even look like his feet are suspended off the floor. You would think, what is the danger, possibly, of this guy riding the little donkey? There's no way that the little donkey could harm him. Elamaya, Kadosh Baruch Hu caused the donkey to go nuts. The donkey reared back and threw the guy off over the side of the bridge. And that's why it was the time for the tall guy to go. And even the donkey became the agent of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And when he saw this, when Rabbi Bar Shila saw this, Kari al Nafshei l'mashpatecha amdu ayom, he said about this guy, oh, l'mashpatecha amdu ayom, ki akol avadecha, right? That it was time for this guy to go, and therefore akol avadecha, everybody became the servant of HaKadosh Baruch Hu in terms of ensuring that it was this guy's time to leave the world, including the donkey, and therefore the donkey was the cause of this guy's demise. Shmuel chazi alu karkusa de akravta, others changed the gir salahuda arkavta, that Shmuel saw a scorpion, yasiva al akarukta, that he was sitting on a female frog. So you have a scorpion sitting on top of a frog. Avra nahara, so the scorpion sitting on the frog's back, the frog swam across the river with a scorpion on his back. Tarka gavra, stung a person, umayis, and the person died. So Kari Alas, Shmuel said on this Maisa Lemashpatecha Amdu Ayom, Kiakol Avadecha, that it was time for this person to go, Kiakol Avadecha. Everybody was now functioning as an agent of HaKadosh Baruch Hu to mete out the punishment, and therefore this guy met his demise through the scorpion and the frog. The Marshal explains that the point of this Gemara is that each of these creatures alone could not have killed the person. Why? Because the scorpion can sting, but it can't swim. The frog can swim, but it can't sting. So if there was only a scorpion or only a frog on the other side of the river, the guy would have been okay. But HaKadosh Baruch Hu saw to it that there was a scorpion sitting on the back of a frog. So when they joined forces, the scorpion was able to hitch a lift across the river with a frog and then go to the other side and sting the guy. And the Marsha says, that's what it means in the Pasuk, Ki akol avadecha. Ki akol is the Lashon Rabim. And over here we have the Lashon Rabim. We have the combined forces of the scorpion and frog that are going to combine and kill the person. Says the Gemara now really to the core halachas of Bikur Cholim. So Amar Shmuel, Ein Mavakrin Asachola, Ela Lami Shachatzoso Chama. That the only time we visit a sick person, the only time we perform Bikur Cholim is somebody who's feverish. So what does it mean, the only time we perform Bikur Cholim is if a guy suffers from fever? Lafuke mai. First of all, what's the Gemara trying to teach us? It appears that there are certain times when you're not supposed to be Mavakar Chola. If you're supposed to be Mavakar Chola when a person is suffering from fever, when are you not supposed to be Mavakar Chola? So Lafuke adatanya. So let's exclude the following case. So Rav Yossi ben Parta, Amar, Mishum Rabbi Eliezer, Ein Mavakrin, that we shouldn't pay a Bikur Cholim visit, L'choli Me'ayim, V'lo Choli Ayin, V'lo Mechoshe Arosh, that if you have an intestinal issue, or if you have a problem with your eyes, or if you have a problem with your head, or if you have a headache. Says the Gemara as follows, Bishlam Acholi Me'ayim, Mishum Kisufa. I understand you shouldn't go visit a guy who's suffering from GI issues because he's going to be embarrassed. He doesn't have control over his bodily function, so you're going to go pay him a visit. You think you're doing him a favor, but the guy's embarrassed because his body is, he doesn't have control of his body. His body is betraying him, and therefore it's going to be embarrassing for him. So to be embarrassed, you shouldn't go be Mavakar Chola. So, but however, says the Gemara, Elecholi Ayin and Mechoshi Arosh, my taima. But why shouldn't you visit somebody who's suffering from an illness of the eye, or if a person is suffering from a headache, why shouldn't you visit them? So, Mishum Rav Yehuda, Deyama Rav Yehuda, it's because of Rav Yehuda, because Rav Yehuda says, Dibura kosha le'ene umale la'ashisei, because speaking is good for fever, but it's bad for one's eyes. And the Mefarshim point out that the eyes and the head are connected. They have a similar pathology, and therefore, just like Dibur is hard for the eyes, Dibur is also hard for somebody who has a headache. And we see that if you have a splitting headache, sometimes you don't want to listen to people, you don't want to talk to people. But if you're not suffering from a headache and you're stomach feverish, then speaking might have some sort of therapeutic value. The Ramban says that because the Gemara says that a person is not supposed to visit somebody who's suffering from an eye ailment or somebody who's suffering from a headache, that it's actually a fulfillment of the mitzvah of Yahavta L'Reacha Kamocha to not visit the person. Why? Because if he himself were suffering from an eye ache or a headache, he wouldn't want to be visited. Therefore, you shouldn't go visit somebody else who's suffering from these types of illnesses. However, the Ramban says that even though you can't visit, obviously you should still do other things. You could still pray for the chola that he should be healed. You should ask the members of his household if there's anything that he needs. We saw in the Gemara yesterday that the point of Bikur Cholim is sometimes to take care of whatever the chola needs, not necessarily to visit him, but to tidy up the house or whatever it is, to daven for him. So certainly you could do these other things, but you shouldn't pay a visit to somebody who's suffering from either of these ailments. Says the Gemara Navaiter, last line, Mem Aleph Amid Aleph. So Amar Rava, hi Ishta, this fever, Ilav de Parvanka de Malacha de Mavsa, were it not that fever happens to be an agent of the Malacha Maves, Mali, it would be as good, Kechizra Ledikle, as good as the prickly foliage is to a palm tree. In other words, just like the prickly leaves, let's say, of a palm tree, or if you can envision a cactus, they protect the underlying tree by discouraging animals from coming near, so too fever protects the body from harmful contagions by destroying them. So there is a beneficial aspect to a fever, but you have to be careful because you're literally playing with fire, because fever is also an agent of the Malach HaMavis. So, but if it were not an agent of the Malach HaMavis, it would be good to have a fever, says the Gemara, Chad L'Talsin Yomen. Once every 30 days would be beneficial to have a fever to sort of clear out the system from whatever bacteria may be there, from whatever contagions may be there. V'chi tiraiki ligufe, it would be like an antidote to venom. And Rav Nachman, Rav Yitzchak Amar, lo hi velo tiraiki. I don't want the fever, I don't want the antidote. Meaning, it's better not to have the fever at all, because sometimes the stuff gets out of control. The fever is the agent of the Malach HaMavas. Better not to suffer from fever at all. Amar Rabba Bar Yonah son, Amar Rabbi Yechiel. Our son, Yafe Lechole Lerfuaso. That our son, some type of cereal, which is our son, is good for a chole in order to heal him. Says the Gemara, my arson, what's arson? Some Rav Yonah son, chushla desari atikta deresh nafya. It's the peeled part of the barley corn taken at the beginning of the sifting process. Okay, so it's some type of cereal made out of grain. Some Rabaya, ba'ayim bishule kain bishla detura, that it requires extensive cooking in order to be beneficial. Just like the basar of a shor. The basar of a shor is a very tough meat. In order to make it tender, it requires extensive cooking. So too, the cereal made out of the barley corns requires extensive cooking in order to make it edible. Rav Yosef Amar Smide Desari Atikta. Rav Yosef says that it's a cereal made out of fine flour, not out of barley corn, but out of fine flour. Deresh Nafya, also from the beginning of the sifting process. And Amar Abaya says, Abaya over here, similarly, whether it's made out of fine flour or barley corn, Ba'ayim Bishuli Kibisra Datura, that it requires significant cooking, extensive cooking, just like ox meat, which again requires extensive cooking in order to make it tender and edible. Amrav Yochanan, Bardum ein mavakrin ve'ein maskirin shmo. So Bardum, you should not perform Bikur Cholim by somebody who's suffering from Bardum. What's Bardum? So the Ran says that it's an illness that causes a person to bleed profusely from his lower regions, that you don't visit a person who has Bardum, nor are you even maskir the name. In other words, like people say by certain illnesses, Yenamachlas, also by Bardum, you're not supposed to really mention the name. So my time, Summer of Elazar, Mishum Shu Kamayan Hanovea, because it's like an unending spring. The Amar of Elazar, Lama Nikra Shmo Bardam Shu Kamayan Hanovea, because it's a never ending spring of blood. Obviously, bleeding profusely, not a good thing, especially not from that part of your body. Therefore, and you shouldn't visit somebody who has that machla, because it's obviously very embarrassing to the person. Better not even to mention the name of the ailment. Okay, now the Gemara is going to conclude this part by quoting the last part of the Mishnah that we had learned a couple of days ago. So let's get back to the last part of the Mishnah. So the last part of the Mishnah, again, we're talking about situations where, let's say, Reuven is not allowed to get Hana from Shimon. And the question is, what activities are Reuven and Shimon allowed to do with each other, for each other, notwithstanding that Reuven is not allowed to get Hana from Shimon? So he said that even though Reuven's not allowed to get Hana from Shimon, if Shimon is a doctor and Reuven is suffering from an illness, Shimon is still allowed to heal him. So it said that you're allowed to heal Refuas HaNefesh, but not Refuas Mamon. Why? Because if Shimon heals Reuven in a manner of Refuas Mamon, then that's considered to be a type of Hana. Reuven's not allowed to get Hana from Shimon. Therefore, Shimon's not allowed to provide him the benefit. But the Gemara is going to try to figure out now, what is Refuas HaNefesh versus Refuas Mamon? So says the Gemara, Mrafei Refuas Nefesh. So, hey Chiktani. So what in the world are we talking about? Ilema the Refuas Nefesh Pechinam. The Refuas Nefesh means that Shimon is providing medical care to Reuven and not taking a payment. That's allowed, but Refuas Mamon Beschar, but Refuas Mamon is Beschar. Now, if Shimon ordinarily would get paid for providing a Refuah and is going to provide the Refuah to Reuven and not take the payment, then he's benefiting Reuven because Reuven doesn't have to pay him now. That's going to be a problem. But says the Gemara, this is a very roundabout way of saying it. So, listening, Hachi, Mrapeo Bechinam, Avalo Beschar. So then we should have just said that he's allowed to heal him bechinam, but he's not allowed to take schar for healing him. So says the Gemara, no, that's not what it means. Elo refuas nefesh gufo refuas mamon behemto. Refuas nefesh means that even though Reuven's not allowed to have enough from Shimon, Shimon is still allowed to provide medical care to Reuven himself. However, Shimon is not allowed to provide medical care to Reuven's behema. So Amarav Zutra Bartuvia, Amarav Aval Omerlo Samploni Yafalo Samploni Rala. Even though Shimon is not allowed to act as Reuven's animal's veterinarian, he's still allowed to give him advice. He's still allowed to say, oh, such and such is good for the animal, such and such is bad for the animal. However, and that's because the benefit is only incidental, that you're not actually providing the medical care, you're not actually providing the medical services, you're only giving advice. However, this is only where people don't pay for that sort of consultation. If people ordinarily pay for the consultation and Shimon is not going to accept money for the medical consult, then he can't provide that service because Reuven is benefiting from Shimon's not charging him anything. That the Ran also says that even though the Gemara has concluded that if Reuven is not allowed to get Hana from Shimon, that Shimon is allowed to provide medical care to Reuven, but not medical care to Reuven's animal. The Ran says that if he's the only veterinarian in town, then he's allowed to provide medical care even to his animal because it's Hashavas Aveda. And the Ran further says that if Reuven is not allowed to have enough from Shimon, we had said that Shimon's allowed to provide medical care to Reuven himself, and that holds true even if there are other doctors. Why? Because by the time another doctor might come, Reuven's condition might deteriorate. It might be a situation of sakonas nefashas, and therefore he's able to provide medical care even if there are other doctors in town, says the Ran. Okay, now we get to the Mishnah, middle of Mem Aleph and Mabez. More activities that a person is or is not allowed to do with somebody else if there's a nether ana among them, between them. Says the Gemara, Varochetzimo Bambatia Gedola, Avalo Bektana. You're allowed to bathe. Let's say Reuven's not allowed to have ana from Shimon. They're still allowed to bathe together in a large bath, but not a small bath. Why? In a small bath, Reuven being there or Shimon being there is going to benefit Reuven because it's going to cause the water level to rise and there's basically going to be more water. It's going to be easier to take a bath. And that is considered to be that minor hana is going to be prohibited by the neder. V'yoshinimo b'mita, and they're allowed to sleep together in a bed. Rav Yudam Rav Mosa Chama avalo b'mosa gshamin, that they're only allowed to sleep together in a bed in the summer, not in the winter, because in the winter, the body heat causes him, gives him ana, and therefore, they're not allowed to stay together in a bed because Reuven was not allowed to have ana from Shimon. However, they're allowed to lean on the bed together like they would sit on a couch together because there's no ana there at all. And they're allowed to eat together on the same table. Aval lo min atamchoy, but they're not allowed to eat from a tamchoy. A tamchoy is where they're eating together from the same large plate. The real interpretation of tamchoy is a trough, but we don't really eat out of a trough. But let's say if you could envision like a large plate in the middle of a table with a bunch of appetizers that everybody's eating from, so they're allowed to eat on the same table off of separate plates. But they're not allowed to eat from the same communal type of plate. Why not? Because if Reuven and Shimon are eating together from the same plate, the more Reuven eats, the less there is for Shimon. The less Reuven eats, the more there is for Shimon. Reuven's not allowed to have ana from Shimon. But if Shimon doesn't eat a lot, there's more food for Reuven, and therefore that is considered to be the type of incidental hana that is going to be usur. If we're afraid of sharing food and more food for the other guy, why are they allowed to eat on the same table? Aren't we afraid that Shimon is going to say, you know what, I'm not so hungry. Here, Reuven, take some more of my food. So, the answer is, so the Rashba gives two answers. Number one, if they're eating off of different plates and it's enough of a hecker, they're going to remember the neder and therefore they're not going to violate the neder. And also, says the Rashba, you have to bear in mind, these people probably don't like each other too much, which is why Reuven made a neder that he's not going to get enough from Shimon. So we're not afraid that they're going to share the food off of separate plates. But if they're eating off of a communal plate, then the benefit is more incidental. So they're not allowed to eat off of that communal plate. But says the Gemara that if the tamchoy is the type of tamchoy that goes back to the balabayis, then they're allowed to eat together. Why? Because then it's not the situation that the more Reuven eats, the less there is for Shimon, or the less Shimon eats, the more there is for Reuven, because they don't get to keep the leftovers anyway. The leftovers are just going to go back to the Baal Habayis. Says the Gemara in Avaiter, Satanya lo yirchosimo bambatia v'lo yirchosimo bamita, ben gdola ben ktana divra meir. So a meir is gozer, a situation where there won't be ana, because of a situation where there will be ana. So unlike the Tana of our Mishnah, who says that they're not allowed to bathe together in a small bath where the other guy causes the water level to rise, Rav Meir will say they're not even allowed to bathe together in a big bath, lest they come to bathe together in a small bath. The Tana of our Mishnah said that they're not allowed to sleep in the same bed together, be mosad geshamin, because of the bodily warmth that they're going to provide to one another. But they could sleep in the same bed, be mosad chama. Rav Meir says they're never allowed to sleep in the same bed together, because we're afraid, if we permit it, lest they come to sleep in the same bed in the Mosa Geshamim, where there will be Hana. Rav Yudah Amar Gedola B'Mosa Geshamim, Rav Yudah says, is the Tana of our Mishnah, he says no, that they're allowed to sleep in a big bed together in the Mosa Geshamim, V'Ktana B'Mosa Chama, Mutter is going to be Mutter, because we're only afraid when there's actually going to be Hana. Rochitzimo Bambatia Gedola, and therefore says Rav Yudah, that he's allowed to bathe with him in a large bath, because again, we're only going to say it's usur in a situation where there is actual ana. We're not going to say it's usur even in other cases as a gzera, lest they come to be together in a place where there is ana. Umaziyem obiktana, and you're allowed to go to the shvitz, you're allowed to go to the sauna, even if it's a smaller situation, even if it's a smaller bathhouse. Aval mesi v'mo'ol amita, v'yokhli mo'ol ha'shulchan, you're allowed to lean on a bed together because there's no incidental gentle on off from leaning on the bed together, and they're allowed to eat on the same table. But as we saw in the Mishnah, not from a communal plate, because the less Shimon eats, the more Reuven eats, and then Reuven's benefiting from Shimon, but he can't because of the neder. But you're allowed to eat together from a tamche achozer lebalabayis, because then everybody just gets their own portion, and one person is not going to get any more just because Shimon eats less. If Shimon eats less, Reuven doesn't get more, it just more goes back to the balabayis. Rav Yossi Brachanina Menatam Cheachozer LaBalabayas. That just fills in what I've been saying the whole time, that when we talk about the Tamchoy that it's mutter for them to eat from, it's a Tamchoy that goes back to the Balabayas. But again, the point is that each person is not benefiting from the leftover that the other person leaves. Rather, it just goes back to the Balabayas. They're not benefiting from each other, therefore they're allowed to eat together off of this same Tamchoy. So we'll stop here. We'll pick up with the Mishnah, God willing, on the bottom of Mem Aleph on the base tomorrow. Hope everybody has a wonderful day. Thank you. Take care.